Oh, and welcome to The Family Show. I'm your host, Eleanor Rossman, and joining me today and every week are Brenda and Randy League. Great to be with you both.
Hello.
Good seeing you, as always.
Always. And so we always talk before the show, forever. And Randy, you mentioned that you wanted to talk about an event in the news, which is not what we normally do, but hey.
Isn't that interesting that you would notice that as well? Because we normally don't talk about current events on the show. And because, frankly, I don't know any. One of my students at school once observed to me, Professor Lee, it's really amazing that all of your current events, pop culture references, end somewhere in the 1990s. and I can't, what can I say? It's pretty much true. But I did want to talk today about a current event first because I know it. I'm so excited about it. I know a current event. And then the other reason is, it just, as I think about this current event, it just looks a lot different to me than it seems to look to other people, which is not uncommon. You know, we talked, I think, last time about the guy Jesus healed who saw people who looked like trees, and that's pretty much my whole life.
Yeah.
But anyway, I want to talk about Archbishop Corleone, Archbishop of San Francisco, instructing House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that she was to refrain from presenting herself for Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are seeing this as being about abortion, which is what I thought it was about, too, until I read Archbishop Corleone's letter to Speaker Pelosi.
Uh-huh.
And when I read the letter, it occurred to me that this was more about shepherds and brothers, at least for Archbishop Corleone, mm-hmm. than it is about abortion, right? So let me just try and explain that and get into it. If you read the letter, Archbishop Corleone starts out, "I am grateful to you, Speaker Pelosi, for the time you have given me in the past to speak about these abortion matters."
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then he continues, "Unfortunately, I have not received such an accommodation to my many requests to speak with you since you vowed to codify the Supreme Court's Roe versus Wade decision last September." Right?
Yeah.
So stop for a second. When is this letter dated? This letter's dated May 19th, 2022.
So that's quite a while past September.
That's what's going on here. Archbishop Corleone, Speaker Pelosi's archbishop, has been trying to communicate with her from September 2021 through May 2022. And Speaker Pelosi hasn't returned his calls, in 8 months?
Yeah.
Right?
And he is her pastor.
Exactly, right?
He's
a shepherd there, right?
Yeah.
So then he says, the letter goes on, "That is why I communicated my concerns to you via letter on April 7th, 2022. So Archbishop Corleone, for 7-8 months, let's talk, no response. Finally, he sends Speaker Pelosi a letter on April 7th, right? "Since you refuse to answer my calls, here's what we need to talk about." And he kind of lays it out in the April letter, right? Speaker Pelosi's response to this April letter, right, is nothing.
Yeah.
6 weeks passed, right? Letter from her archbishop, 6 weeks pass, and she doesn't respond. So what's Archbishop Corleone do? He writes another letter, the May 19th letter, in which he tells Speaker Pelosi, "You are not to present yourself for Holy Communion," but he also says, quote, "Please know that I stand ready to continue our conversation at any time and will continue to offer prayer and fasting for you." Right. So let's put the pieces together. Is Speaker Pelosi's support for abortion rights anything new?
Not in the least.
Right. She's been pro-choice for decades.
Yeah.
Right? So why now? Why tell her not to present herself now? What is new? According to Archbishop Corleone, what's new is he and Speaker Pelosi at least used to
talk,
communicate about abortion.
Yeah.
And now the speaker won't even speak with him. Right? How does Jesus describe his relationship with the faithful? Right? How does he, what's he say? John 10, 27, 28. My sheep hear my voice.
Yes.
My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice.
Yes.
Right? I saw an article that praised Archbishop Corleone for displaying the, quote, heart of a lion. But I think that description misses the point. I think what Archbishop Corleone is displaying here is the heart of a shepherd.
Yeah.
Right? You can't follow me if you refuse to listen for, hear my voice.
Here's another scripture that comes to me is the shepherd leaves the 99 to go find the one that gets off the path.
Right. Well, that, and keep it, what does he say? He says, I'm here. I'm praying for you.
Yeah.
Right? I'm fasting for you.
I'm not disinterested. He's called for prayer and fasting for months, I know.
I'm not, you're exactly right. I'm not disinterested.
Yes.
I'm waiting down the road.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. Mm-hmm. But you got to come home.
Like the prodigal father.
Well, that's exactly why I talked about the sons, right? If you look at Matthew 21, verses 28-31, right? And Jesus is hanging out with a bunch of Pharisees. And he tells them a story of two brothers, two sons, and a father, right? And the father asks both of the sons to do something. First one says no, mm-hmm. repents of his response, and goes and he does it. The second son says yes, but doesn't do it, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus asks the Pharisee, which son mm-hmm. did the will of the father?
The first one.
Right, we'll stop for a second.
Okay.
The important thing, notice neither of the brothers, neither of the sons are perfect.
Yeah.
But they're both still sons of the father.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't stop being sons because there was this problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They still talk with him. They still respond to him imperfectly, perhaps, but they still listen for his voice.
Mm-hmm.
They still stay in proximity.
Mm-hmm.
To pick up where you were going, Eleanor, prodigal son story. Again, father, two sons, each flawed. One hears the father's voice, does his will, mm-hmm. right? But begrudgingly.
Right.
Right? But he's still a son.
Yeah.
Right? But the other leaves the father, refuses to hear, listen for the father's voice. And as a result, he loses himself. He must have lost himself because we're told, line you love, that he finds himself.
Yeah.
Right? And the father describes this period as the son being dead, which is a very, very radical thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the father who killed him. Right? Even then, the son controlled it. To come back to life, all he has to do is come home.
Yeah. And the father, you know, the picture in my head is always every day he goes out looking, watching, waiting for the son to return.
Prayer and fasting.
Yeah.
That's what Archbishop Corleone, right? That's what he said. I'm waiting for you. Think about this.
Yeah.
There's lots of dysfunctional people in the family, right? There are those who say no and do yes. There are those who say yes and do no.
Mm-hmm.
There are those who say yes and do yes, but only begrudgingly. But they're all still in the family. The only one not in the family is the one who refuses to hear the Father's voice. Right? Remember the act of spiritual communion prayer, right?
Yeah.
The line is, I unite myself mm-hmm. wholly to you, never permit me.
Yes.
Never permit me to be separated from you. Notice, right? The line is not never separate yourself from me.
Mm-hmm. Never right? permit me to be separated
That's
from
right.
you.
That's yeah. right. Never permit me to yeah. be separated from you.
Mm-hmm.
We, right? It's Lord, hold on to me even when I let go of you.
Right.
Right. God doesn't separate himself from us as we depart from him, right?
Right.
Rita Springer, right? Very powerful Christian songwriter, has this song. And the song's called Holy. It's got this great line. My unbelief has kept me from your touch. My unbelief has mm-hmm. kept me from your touch. And I think that's really what we have here. What is the Eucharist? The Eucharist is God's touch.
Yeah.
Right? And it's our unbelief that keeps us from recognizing that that's what it is, and that keeps us from responding to his touch. And that's what we have here, is we have this turning away from belief, turning away from listening. And that's what's creating the barrier to encountering God's touch.
It's like leaving the family home. You know what I mean? It's a distancing. That's the danger. We distance ourselves from God. He never turns against us. We turn against him.
Well, I mean, I think that dynamic of distancing is a very, very interesting dynamic to look at, because a lot of people will tell you, like the demographic, the press will tell you Catholics are fairly evenly split on abortion.
Yeah.
But if you look at how that split happens, 2/3 of Catholics who are attending Mass every week, who are following teaching a church on Mass attendance, who are listening to the voice of God telling them, you need to be intimate with me.
Or staying in communication with the Lord, at least on a weekly basis.
2/3 of those people
yeah.
are pro-life.
Yeah.
The Catholics who identify as being pro-choice, 2/3 of them are not attending Mass on a regular basis.
Right.
You know, so when you choose to distance yourself, that's when you stop hearing the voice of the Father.
Yes. Let's stop here and take a quick break, but we will be back in just a minute. You are listening to The Family Show with Brenda and Randy Lee. Stay tuned. With The Family Show, and we're talking about the danger of not listening to our Father's voice.
And I think that's a great way to characterize the discussion. I really do, because, I mean, I would characterize it as we were talking about Archbishop Corleone and Speaker Pelosi, but I think you really capture it, because we need to understand what's playing out here and how important it is. Right. And as important as abortion is, I think this failure to listen for God's voice is really what's foundational to the Catholic Church. As I said at the top of the show, I really don't think this is about abortion. I think this is about being alive to the Word of God. Right. And Rich Mullins wrote and recorded a song called Creed, which is basically the Apostles' Creed. Really good song. Unfortunately, you'll never hear it played in a church, but it has this really great chorus. I believe what I believe. It makes me what I am. I did not make it. No, it is making me. It is the very truth of God, not the invention of any man or creation of any man, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the church, and English and church language gets confused on this, in the church, belief is not suspicion or uncertainty. I believe, but I don't know for sure,
mm-hmm.
right? In the church, belief is information that affects behavior. We believe things that affect our behavior. James 1:22, right? Be doers of the word, not just hearers.
Right.
our beliefs, as the song goes, our beliefs make us who we are. As Catholics, our beliefs are not conformed to our own thinking. We conform ourselves, our choices, to our beliefs, which come from the voice, the teachings of Christ. We don't make this stuff up. There's this wonderful quick little line detail in Acts 15:28, right? So Paul and Barnabas have been converting the Gentiles, getting the crap beat out of themselves as well, but converting the Gentiles, right? When some well-meaning Christian Jews show up and they say, okay, you Gentiles can join the club, but you have to be circumcised.
Right?
A position Paul and Barnabas completely disagree with, right? So big dispute breaks out. Right. They all decide they need to go back, take this back to Jerusalem, run it by the apostles to get an answer. So you got all the big wigs in the church. They get together in Jerusalem. It's decided the Gentiles don't need to be circumcised. So the apostles write a letter to the Gentile churches. And the apostles, right, the way that they characterize the decision is the Holy Spirit and we have agreed.
Yeah.
Right? It's not those of us who walk with Jesus have figured out.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They could have pursued their answer in that way.
Yeah.
Hey, we know Jesus. We think this is what he would have said if he were here.
Yeah.
Right? We're smart guys. We're good and holy. But they didn't want to be smart or right. They wanted to be in agreement with the Spirit.
Right.
Right? Are we to be made in the image and likeness of God, or are we to make God in our own image?
Mm.
Right? I was praying recently with the Reverend Michael Minix from Grace Methodist Church, right, here in Harrisburg, praying with him the other day. And he closed the prayer with, move among us and make us more thoroughly your servants, mm-hmm. right? Move among us and make us more thoroughly your servant, which is very, very powerful, right? Lord, this is not about what I think or what I feel. It's about executing your will above my own, being your servant.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, we are always your children. We need to remember that.
Yeah.
Lord, we are always your children.
Yeah.
But we must choose. We must give ourselves over to being your servants.
You know, why do you think he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit? He knew how scattered we were going to be and put our will above. But we have to pray every single day for God's Spirit, to be ruled by God's Spirit.
Yeah.
To be ruled by, to be guided by, right? We talked earlier about this dysfunctional family of Christians, right? Those who say yes, but they do no. Those who say no, but do yes, right? Those who say and do yes, but only begrudgingly. Those who consider, you know, those who say, consider me dead to you. Stay out of my space. Stay out of my face. I'm not listening. I'm not doing, I'm going to do this my way. And then there's Jesus, the perfect son, right?
Yes.
Who says yes, does yes, and does it not begrudgingly.
No, with joy.
But joy and lovingly. That's exactly right. For me, it's very, very humbling because this whole abortion communion thing has been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
And I always thought the critical questions were whether and when. Come on, church. Are you going to smack these people or not?
Yeah.
When are you going to get around to smacking them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Archbishop Corleone, probably one of the reasons, the fact that Brenda and I are married is probably another really good reason, but one of the reasons that he's an archbishop and I'm not, right, is he saw the critical question as not when and whether, but why and how.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As long as the church is alive to the Father, listening for his voice, they're in the family. But when the child says, consider me dead to you, I don't want to hear your voice, they've removed themselves.
Yeah.
Even from the family, right? And yet, even then, as Eleanor, you've been saying, even when the child has removed themselves from the family, the father still says, just come home and we will embrace again. Because that's what parents do.
Yeah. So, but some people heard a few of them. Whoopi Goldberg was one of them, interpreted this as a mean thing to do. It's a mean thing. She said something like, you know, you're out of your circle, dude, or something like that, you know, to the Archbishop. And I thought, no, what you're saying, Randy, is so right. It's the love of the shepherd for the flock. You leave the 99 to go off and search for that one. You stay in communication. You don't cut it off. Even when they cut you off, you don't cut them off. And that's how our Father is.
Right.
He's always there for us. And so even though this becomes a publicly known, do not present yourself for communion, it needs to be seen as the Father lovingly extending his heart to her. Come home, come home.
Your kid comes home at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Right? Didn't call, just
I
shows up.
Happened in my
exactly,
house.
Right? This is a parent thing. We can get our head reprimanded. Kid comes home at 3 o'clock in the morning. Right? And you don't, your initial wave of anger is not, you know, what time did you get home? Your initial wave of anger is what?
Thank God you're safe.
Why didn't you call?
Yeah, why didn't you call?
Right? I need you to communicate, right?
I've been frantic looking for you.
I've been frantic looking for you. I need to know where you are. I need to hear you.
Yeah.
Right. Eleanor, to go back to your question, who did this? It's not that God stopped talking.
Right.
It's because you stopped listening.
Yes.
Right. Interesting that there are media reports that Speaker Pelosi received communion at a Catholic church in D.C.
Right.
The Sunday after she received Archbishop Corleone's letter, right? And the following, I think it was the following Tuesday, I believe, she was discussing everything, this whole thing, you know, why the church is wrong, what she thinks, right, about, you know, all these issues. She's discussing this on MSNBC, right?
Naturally.
But there's been no mention anywhere of her contacting Archbishop Corleone and saying, tell me again. Maybe this time I'll see it. I just need to see it. I just want to understand.
Kind of like
Thomas.
You know, it reminds me, too, of that young man, the wealthy young man that came to the Lord to say, good teacher, what do I need to do to get to heaven? I've been following all the rules. Yeah, I see that you have. Yeah. Okay, well, give all that you have because you're very wealthy and give it to the poor and follow me. It's going to cost something. Okay. It may cost us a lot. It would cost her, look what it could cost her, reputation, status, power, right?
Yep.
But for her eternal salvation, what's more valuable than that?
Actually, that's the perfect image, Eleanor. And the interesting thing is, there is something more important than her eternal than his eternal salvation, right? Because Jesus says, he doesn't say, wait for me to drag you up to heaven.
Right.
He says, follow me.
Yes, me.
Right? Heaven is not a place.
Right.
Heaven is a person. Audrey Saad has this beautiful, very broken, very humble song called Breaking Through. And there's this line, heaven is breaking through, and it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's you, right? We so want heaven to be a place, a really nice place, where we go to live in paradise, and God pretty much leaves us alone.
Right.
God, I got my house, you know, you got
wave
your house.
Wave to me when
right?
you go by.
Exactly. Wave to me when you go by. But that's not heaven.
No.
Heaven is a person. Heaven is life in Jesus Christ. Heaven is that very intimate place where the only thing that matters, and this goes back to the selling everything and give it away, just get rid of it. Heaven is that very intimate place where the only thing that matters is embracing your beloved, being one with Jesus Christ, right? And if you're letting all of this other stuff get in the way, you know, we got the Archbishop saying,
yeah,
I need you to let it go. I need you to come home.
Yeah.
I need you to listen to the voice of your beloved. Yes. That's what this is about.
Maybe we need to send her a picture for her office of the Good Shepherd.
That's right.
Yeah.
Visual imagery, voice imagery. We need, you're still loved. You can still, I mean, there's a beautiful picture, Brenda, to follow up that image.
You know,
beautiful picture of Mary holding the lamb.
I know you're going to say she has baby Jesus in one hand and a lamb
exactly.
in the other. Yes.
That's what this is about.
You know, I do every day, unless I forget for some reason, but every day I try to pray by name for Nancy Pelosi, for her conversion.
Right.
And I believe that that's what we need to do. We need to love her into conversion,
right,
and not get stuck at that place that, you know, let's just point the finger and say, you know, you're going to get slapped.
Which is where,
you know,
so much of our nation is right now. We're pointing fingers. There's so much hatred. There's so much
division.
Fred,
so much division.
That's a great point, because who's going to unite the country? Is it the Supreme Court, or is it political action groups, or is it God?
It's God. Hey, we're out of time, but we invite you to join us every Friday at 12:30 on AM 720 for The Family Show.
And keep us in your prayers.
For Brendan, Randy Lee, I'm Eleanor Rossman, and we leave you with the beautiful sound of Seasons.